Hi. It's been a while since I've done this. Welcome to a nominal game design podcast. I'm Chris Bissett, a tabletop game designer from Manchester in the UK, who owns a keyboard, clearly. Hi. I haven't really thought about what I'm going to talk about today. Which is quite common with this podcast, really, but whatever. I'm quite enjoying this pad I've got. Playing a lot of Dungeon Crawl Classics recently, which I've never played before, and I'd heard about it before. I'd heard about funnels specifically, and I'd never really I knew what a funnel was, that, you know, you make four characters each. And run them through. A murder dungeon, a meat grinder, and that it sort of acts as character creation that you play through. I can never really picture how it would work in play. But now I've played a few, and I really enjoyed it. Controlling four characters and being able to have all your characters interact with each other and do things that you maybe wouldn't normally do when you're playing with a group of people where you've all got one character each. Like, you can make your own characters backstab each other and push each other in harm's way and be really fucking horrible, awful people if you want. And you're not going to upset everyone. Everyone has fun because it's your own characters that you're using that way. And I really enjoyed how character development happened at the table. You go in with these peasants that you've rolled up 4 minutes before the game starts, who you know nothing about, and by the end of it they've got quite well defined personalities. And you know, one of my characters died in the funnel, the other three survived, and I've got quite a clear idea of who those three characters are in a way that I don't think I'd have got going through, like, even a life path generation system. So I've got a game coming out soon. The Quick Start will be coming out this coming week. Called Dice Souls. Which is my Souls-like game. And it's designed for two players, but one player and one GM, but also to be played solo. And Obviously, I think about solo games a lot because I mostly write solo games. And I started thinking about what does a funnel look like in a solo game? Have an example of that in video games, because the XCOM games, I haven't played the modern XCOM games. All I've played is UFO, The Enemy Within, and Terror from the Deep, the original ones. But the way those games work is sort of like a funnel, right? Especially as this week I'm running DCC, the Wizardarium of Calabraxis, and I think the group that goes into it is going to be a mix of level zero peasants and a couple of level one characters who survived a funnel last week. And so this is what got me thinking about XCOM, because in XCOM you take a squad of new marines into an enemy place, like a ship has crashed and you go and investigate it, and that's the dungeon, right? It's a meat grinder. And half of your squad get annihilated the first time you play it, but some of them survive. And then the next time, you have some new recruits and you have some higher level ones, and you end up kind of, you play it one of two ways. Either your higher level characters protect the lower level ones to try and make them survive, so you bump up your group a bit, or the higher level ones hide behind the new recruits and use them as cannon fodder. I've played Darkest Dungeon this way as well. At least until Darkest Dungeon stops letting you take the higher level characters in, because that does happen. The dungeons have a level limit, I guess, to stop you just breezing through a low level dungeon with a party of level 5 characters and farming for XP. I don't know. I don't like that mechanic in Darkest Dungeon, but anyway. So how does this work in solo play? It becomes less of a role-playing game at this point, I think, and more of a squad management game. So the way Dark Souls, my game isn't called Dark Souls, I don't want to get sued by From. The way Dice Souls works is that you start at a campsite, and then each region of the game has a roll table to generate areas, sort of like a random dungeon generation table. You figure out what the room is, but it's got specific locations, and then you roll to see what's in the room and how many exits that room's got. I say room, area. You know, if you think about it in terms of, let's say Dark Souls 1, say you start at a bonfire. What's a bonfire in Dark Souls 1? There's one at Firelink Shrine, and then the first bonfire that most people get to after that is the one halfway through Undeadburg, right? So let's say you start the game, you're at a campsite, and then you're in the region you're playing through is Undeadburg, right? And so you roll the dice and you get the watchtower and you come out of the bonfire to the base of a tower. It's got some skeletons on the top of it firing arrows at you, some at the base to fight. And you fight your way through them, and once you've cleared that area in Dice Souls, you answer a lore question. Every region also has a list of lore questions, and this is how you build up the story of the world that you're playing in. And then you roll to see which areas connect to the one that you're in, and you go into the next one and, you know, you fight. If you win, you answer a lore question, you move deeper into the region. If you die, you go back to the campsite and you start again. And I've got mechanics in place to make it so that starting again doesn't take forever and isn't horribly depressing. Like, the enemies get easier to defeat each time you face them until you can just narrate your way past them, so you can steadily get deeper and deeper into the regions and clear through it. Anyway, I'm getting off the point. How would it work in a solo game? Because you don't want to sit there describing every blow to yourself, right? Especially not if you're running four characters. Kind of lost my train of thought. I'm just gonna let this note ring out for a bit until I figure out what I was talking about. Okay, so Larry Asmuth, friend of the show, has a mini-zine game called TDEF, Terran Defense Force, which is a GM-less game that comes in, I think, two little 8-page zines, one for that tells you how to make characters and how to do things, and one that creates missions, and it's sort of an homage to XCOM, but also inspired by Dark Fault, the game that spawned Mokeborg and that comes with Feratory. And he did a Twitter thread last week where he ran four characters through that, and he played it sort of like he journaled his way through it, but that worked sort of like a funnel. And now I'm thinking, oh, you're nearly 15 minutes into this podcast and you're talking about designing a game that Larry has already designed. Oh no. Just go and buy TDEF and play that instead. Okay, so let's just actually think about what I want from this game. I want a very quick character generation to create new, like, level zeros. We want procedural generation of missions or levels. We want wealth by attrition. Characters die and the remaining characters take their gear. So one of the things I like about XCOM is that characters basically share gear, right? And that works from a solo perspective. Because if you're the only player, then you don't want to be tracking gear between characters and saying, oh, this belongs to this character, this belongs to this one. So maybe on a mission, maybe at the beginning of a mission, you allocate gear to your characters so you can make sure that your higher level characters are protected and give them all the best stuff, or you can give their stuff to the zero level characters that go with them, the grunts. It does need a theme, doesn't it? And the two themes basically are aliens, which is XCOM, or dungeons. Can you tell it's been a while since I've done this? So, okay, think. This is not going well. What it also needs is a system for the world reacting to the characters coming into it. So maybe we use cards, classic. Split the deck into four suits. And we'll use them for different things as well, in different phases of the game. So we'll use cards to generate a concept for the mission. Okay, we're going to combine genres here. It's going to be like XCOM, but we're going to make it fantasy. So, whatever world we're in is facing incursions from the Far Realms, or the Places Beyond, or a term for other space that is not the IP of a big company. We'll call it the Other Space. And these portals are opening throughout the world, and things are coming through. And you work for some kind of defense force. You are tasked with defending the world from these incursions. And so, every time one comes up, you generate where it is in the world. Is it far away? Is it quite close? Does it directly threaten your operation? Or are you going to help a foreign government? Or what resources will it cost you to get there in the first place? And we'll also generate, I guess, like the nature of the incursion. Is it small? Is it quite contained? Is it literally like a portal that's opened and stuff is coming through? Or is like, has the ground turned into liquid and you're trying to find the source and stop it? Maybe an object has come through and is causing trouble. I don't know. Whatever it is, we determine the basic broad strokes of the mission in this first phase. And then maybe we steal the engagement role from Blades in the Dark. So, based on how far away the mission is and how well prepared you are for the kind of mission it is, we have an engagement role, and that tells us the situation when we touch down, wherever it is that we're going. So maybe there with plenty of time, you know, like in XCOM, when you'd land and sometimes you have to spend ages hunting for the ship that's landed. Other times you step out of the ship and half your party gets massacred immediately. You know, that's what we're determining with the engagement role. And then we use the cards to determine spaces that you move around in, to build the actual geography of the mission. We maybe use them to provide enemies. And we can use them to provide things like tech or magic or, you know, loot. And so maybe a turn is turning over cards to see what happens and then rolling dice to see how you respond to it based on stats that your party have. XCOM has two phases, your phase and the enemy phase, right? It's tactical, it's grid-based. All your characters move and do stuff. You move and do an action. And then the enemy has a turn where they move and take an action. And so maybe the enemy turn is controlled by the cards, or one deck of cards controls the enemy turn. Definitely a game in that. Struggling right now to figure out exactly how to make it work, and that happens sometimes. You know, you have an idea but you can't quite pin it down. I find it very frustrating when that happens. Like a couple of weeks ago, I sat down to do this and I came up with the Wizard Academia Forged in the Dark game, and I'm moving ahead with that. I've started writing that. I'm probably going to kickstart that later in the year, but I'm struggling with this one. Like, what makes it different to playing TDEF, for example, with a different skin? Maybe this is just a reskin for Larry's game. But I guess if we're doing this, so it's all based around the worksheet, I guess, where you build out the roster of your characters. Maybe like Darkest Dungeon, you start with a very small budget and you only have a limited number of characters and you don't have the resources to recruit more characters or train them. And the more incursions you solve, the more your budget grows, the more your influence grows. And so you can unlock more characters, more slots for characters, and you can start to train specialist teams, maybe. So, you know, maybe initially all you have are level 0 grunts, and once they level up, if they survive, you pick a class for them and you start to develop their skills. But they might focus on being a strike team, and then you might get a mission comes up where someone, a human in our world, has been consorting with these demons, and you have to go in and neutralize them but not kill them. And maybe you need someone who's like a diplomat character for that, and you don't have them. You know, I don't know, this is a really poor example. What happens when a portal opens at the bottom of an ocean? Do you have a team who's trained to operate underwater? Maybe there can be long-term things where, like, yeah, a portal opens underwater, for example, and you don't have the ability to deal with that yet. So as you do more missions to train people and get more resources and get ready for this, things escalate and it gets worse. Maybe each mission has a little, each mission type has tables that you can roll on to say, like, how this gets worse and affects the world if left unattended. Maybe some of them have actual goals that will, like, end your game if left unattended. Like, is this a tabletop, a solo game that you can lose? Maybe they all have, maybe some of them have a clock, and if you don't get there before the clock fills up, you're fucked. And then you have to think, well, okay, I'm not fully prepared for this mission, but we're gonna have to do it because otherwise, game over. And maybe you could just play funnels over and over, like with DCC. Because most people I speak to who play DCC just play funnels. And that's a shame, because all the wacky shit that happens in that game happens at higher levels, but whatever. I don't really know what the core mechanic of this game is. I really like the system that Adam Vass used in Excommunicado, where you build a dice pool and you roll it, and any ones you roll are complications, and any sixes you roll are successes, and if you don't roll any ones or sixes, basically the GM makes a move. I don't know how well that works for a solo game. This has been quite an unsatisfying episode. Do you know what? I might, part of the problem this week is that I'm trying to write the quick start for Dice Souls. And in trying to write the quick start for Dice Souls, I've had to kind of go back and reassess some of the game itself, because writing the quick start has made me think really strongly about the actual structure of play and how a game will look at the table, and I realise that some things weren't working. And that's fine, because the game's not due out for another month, so I've got a month to get this right, even though I'm taking pre-orders for it now, because it's a Patreon game. I'm taking pre-orders for it because I launched the D36 Kickstarter in a week, and I don't want it to get overshadowed by D36 marketing, basically. And so, I think part of the problem I'm having this week is that my brain is still working on Dice Souls problems, and what I'm trying to do here is design another game on top of designing Dice Souls. But I do want to revisit this. Maybe I come back to this in a couple of weeks when Dice Souls is done. Maybe this is my March Patreon game, a solo squad management game with funnels about demons. Yeah. So, sorry that we didn't get a game out of this episode. I have missed doing these podcasts, though. So yeah, thank you for listening. This has been a Nominal Game Design Podcast. I don't even have a title for this episode at this point. You can find me on Twitter at Pangalactic. Pre-order Dice Souls. It comes with a CD of the original soundtrack in a DVD case. There's only 200 copies. It's really cool. It's going to be good. Even though I've just said that I haven't finished writing it yet, it's going to be good, I promise you that. And on the 9th of February, back D36 on Kickstarter. Running simultaneously with ZineQuest, but not part of ZineQuest, because it's in full colour and there's a hardback version, and some people don't like that I'm breaking the ZineQuest rules, and that's fair enough. Anyway, this has gone on for far too long. Thanks for listening.